In the name of God, who has made us and who loves us and keeps us. Amen. What could go wrong? We had a map. The hermit's cell is a small foundation of stones on the island of Iona, off the southwest coast of Scotland, where 23 of us traveled as pilgrims this summer. We had followed the one paved road on Iona, and beyond that, mostly sheep paths, to visit the restored abbey and the nunnery ruins, the pebbles of Columba's Bay, the sandy north beaches, the bay at the back of the ocean along the island's western side, and the crest of Dun Ea, the highest of Iona's hills. And somewhere in the center of the island, on the far side of Dun Ea, nestled between grassy knolls and cliff faces of gray and pink stone, surrounded by sturdy heather and wispy white bog flowers and absolute silence, when the Highland cattle weren't lowing nearby, settled there was the hermit's cell. All that is left of the ancient structure is the lowest ring of stones, with an opening where there once was a door. Some say it was a place for monks to retreat from the busyness of the abbey, where hospitality was a never-ending ministry, where preserving sacred texts was a daily passion, and where prayer was unceasing. Others now think it was more likely a crude stable for sheep and shepherds when storms approached the island from the sea. Either way, it was a place of safety and quiet and shelter, a place where prayers would have been whispered, a place where one could wait out darkness or distraction in order to return to daily tasks relieved and renewed. I had never been to the hermit's cell, and the others who agreed to find it with me with our map had never been either. We walked inland from the shallow beaches of the back bay through the rolling hills of the Macher, where sheep graze contentedly, ignoring intrepid golfers who have to play around them. On the map, it looked like a straight line to get from where we were to the place we would begin winding our way through and over the hills between us and the hermit's cell. But along that straight line, it turns out, there were creeks to cross and stinging nettle to avoid, and there were bogs to go wide around. And once we reached the hills, the paths through them bobbed and weaved and sometimes just ended abruptly, and we had to search for signs of another way in the worn grass. We could no longer see the ocean, and the sun that far north is never overhead, so we weren't even sure we were headed in the right direction or how to turn back. Until finally, suddenly, we saw them. There in front of us, in the middle of the boggy peat that we had just decided we weren't going to be able to cross, there were two flat stones, spaced just so a pilgrim could step on them and reach dry ground on the other side. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. It shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, will go astray. God's people were going home again, this time from exile in Babylon, back to the promised land. It was not the first time they had wandered away, and it would not be the last, nor was it the first or last time God would prepare a place for them and go with them as their guide. God had given them a map that they hadn't followed, written instructions that they had ignored. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Instead, they had chosen other ways, other paths, other directions in search of self-sufficiency and security and status. And still, Isaiah the prophet wrote, still God would come for them to turn them around, to lead them back, and to tend the wounds that had been inflicted by their reckless wandering. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. And so those for whom traveling was difficult, even impossible, they would be able to return with all the rest, and the beloved community of God would be restored. But we are inclined to wander, aren't we? And to go our own way. And there are bogs out there to get stuck in, cliff faces too steep to climb, and there are endless deserts, those long, dry spells of nothing ever changing. There is busyness and darkness and distraction, tempting us to take an easier, lighter path. By the time John began his work in the wilderness around the Jordan, God's people once again had lost their way. But John had a map. What could go wrong? Repent, he told them, which was to say, turn around, walk away from sin. And he baptized them to give them a clean start. Prepare the way of the Lord, John said, a way that he knew, like all the prophets before him, was a way that would lead to salvation, a way home. But it had led John to prison, arrested for sedition, because it turned out that beloved community was an uncomfortable home for those who believed that they deserved more. As loudly as John had proclaimed the coming of God's reign when he stood knee-deep in Jordan River water, prison for him was a desert, where even John's throat became parched, and he was thirsty for hope. For so long, he had thought he was on the right path, and now he wasn't sure. Are you the one who is to come? Was the message that John sent through his disciples to his cousin, Jesus, who was perhaps, after all, only a cousin and not the King of Kings. Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Jesus answered them, Matthew writes, and it is as if Jesus places two stones for John in the sinking sand. Go and tell John, Jesus answers, what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. I am the way. This is the right highway, the holy way that will bring God's people back, that will restore not only their community, but all of creation. Go and tell John what you hear and see. Those stones in our path on Iona, on the way to the hermit's cell, the stones that allowed us to keep going when we could not reconcile our map with the path that we had chosen. Those stones had been brought to that place years and years before, carried there by other pilgrims who had lost and then found their way. We had read about it earlier in the week, how this hike had always been a difficult one, and determined to help others reach that elusive hermit cell, that place of refuge and renewal, those former pilgrims had worked hard to prepare a way for those who would come after them. So our feeble knees felt a little bit firmer and our fearful hearts a little bit lighter with gratitude as we stepped across those stones. The few of us somehow now in company on this holy way with all those who had ever crossed those stones before. And at the top of the next hill, we looked down and saw the hermit's cell. And just beyond it, a few others from our group who had found the place by another path that it turned out was straighter and flatter than ours. But through that herd of Highland cattle with horns as long as we were tall, so it's a maybe half and half which way you want to go. We would arrive at the hermit's cell then at the same time, a beloved community reunited. And we shared our water bottles and fruit and chocolate from our packs, and we sat in silence and rested in that hermit's cell. And then we laughed and told stories and prayed and returned, renewed for another journey. The highway that runs through the wilderness and worries and busyness and darkness and distraction and sorrow and sighing and lostness of life, the highway, the holy way by which we walk not alone but with God, is a way we also walk with one another, with all those who have gone before us, all those who are walking with us now, and many, many, many who will follow. What do we hear? And what do we see when we're stuck on that path, when we're parched in the desert, when we don't know which way to turn? What do we hear and what do we see that can assure us that all of us will make it home one day? Well, every Sunday here, we hear prayers of the people spoken for one another, for healing, and in thanksgiving. We hear words of welcome spoken to visitors and newcomers. We have heard handbells rung by our young people who gave of their time on a Saturday morning to help us worship in the beauty of holiness. And we'll soon hear blessings said over cookies decorated by our children and hats hand-knit by parishioners and friends, all to be given to our Tuesday morning breakfast guests. And we see toys and bikes wrapped in paper and bows for children we may never meet, but whose names from our angel tree we now know and hold in our hearts. We see the smiles on the faces of our fellow worshipers, fellow pilgrims, and we see hands outstretched in peace. We see around us here and on the streets outside our doors God's people on a holy way, busy and distracted sometimes, worried or wandering perhaps, sorrowful and full of sighs, or tired and bone dry. But God's people, nevertheless, a beloved community, all of us that God dreams of bringing home. Are we the ones who will work hard to prepare the way, to place stones along the path, to help those who journey with us? Are we the ones? Or shall God wait for another? How might we be eyes for the blind, ears for the deaf, songs for the speechless, life in the face of death, or good news for the poor? How might others help us open our eyes, unstop our ears, raise our voices, and receive the abundance of love and life that is coming in Emmanuel, God with us? So we have a map love God, love everyone. We have each other, fellow travelers, on this holy way, in this holy season. And God with us is with us even now, as we make our way home with him to the stable, the starting point of all things new. Amen.